This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. Frank and Martin broadcasting live from Maryville University. We're in the Student Center. It is just sensational. We have ping pong. We have TVs. We have couches. We have drinks, not alcohol. It is just a great place to be. And Lonnie Folks and Mark Stricker will stop by in a little bit. Jim Powers and Chuck Young have been our gracious host here today. The lovely Emmy is also here learning the craft of broadcasting from Jim Powers.
And my first bit of advice was go to law school. Everybody that says, hey, I'm interested in the business. I've got a son. I've got a neighbor. Go to law school.
You know, Mandy Murphy's daughter, who went to Westminster, she and Dom were on the student broadcast that they do, the local news, and she was just terrific. And I saw her the other day, and I said, is she going into broadcasting? She says, thank goodness she's not. I mean, I think everybody you talk to who's in this general age range, their greatest accomplishment is moving their son or daughter onto a different profession.
Right. Now, it's a great business, of course. You'll meet wonderful people, have great experiences. You'll see the world. Although, the other night, what happened with the Ryan O'Reilly goal? And I turned to my photographer, and I said, this is my whole life covering sports. As Ryan O'Reilly scored the goal, I was in the tunnel. When Isaac Bruce made the catch and Mike Jones made the tackle, I was in the tunnel. Yadier Molina, home run, I was in the tunnel.
You were in the tunnel and I was in the car.
Frank ran by me so that, of course, the Blues game, we've got it all figured out. What time does it end? Yeah, usually right around 9:40. You're probably in the room, the dress room, probably about 9:50. But if it goes to overtime, all bets are off. So I'm standing in the tunnel. There goes Frank on his way back, hurrying back to the station. O'Reilly scores probably a minute or two later. Here comes Frank running back.
They said, get back in there. So neither of us, the best Blues game of the season, neither of us actually saw the game-winning goal.
Correct. And then you go to the room, and if a player's like, well, did you see how he kind of deked him at the blue? Sure.
Yeah.
Like when LaRusso would say sometimes, you watch the game? Like, well, actually, I had to run out to Maryville and do a couple of things, and I went home for it. No, I didn't see the whole game.
You and I didn't see the goal until, like, later that night on SportsCenter, probably, right, when we got home.
And we even called the highlight.
Yeah.
Take a look here. Wow, what a move. I actually did see it on Twitter before I went into the room, so I had a loose idea.
Because Mike Bush had to narrate the first hit at 10:06, because we were doing interviews, and I heard Mike say he kind of looked over at a Tarasenko, but he kept it, you know. So.
You heard that. You're like, oh, yeah. Okay, now I know. Mike probably said, Frank, I'll handle the 10:20 sports as well.
He did give it a shot and a goal, something he did for 20 years. So.
Oh, you know, for Mike, it's like riding a bike,
isn't
it?
That's right, absolutely. Everyone,
hey, if Frank misses slot, don't worry. I got this. How about a couple of quick headlines for Frank? And this is number one for you, Frank. Do you feel better about the criticism you get when you hear other people critiqued? And I know years ago we joked, I would always say, well, people think Bob Costas is bad and they're idiots. So I feel, and you said, you're comparing yourself to Bob Costas. Well, no, I'm not. But somebody online the other day was ripping Dave Matter. They called him an ASS and they said, you went to school there, you're ripping our
Dave Matter?
Yes. Have you ever considered him
a controversial character?
Controversial or mean-spirited or taking shots? Never, right?
Ripping him would be the equivalent of ripping, like, Jim Thomas.
Right. Like they just do their job. They report the facts. They're as objective as anybody I've ever seen. So I saw that and I said, you know what? If there's people out there that think that he's hammering Mizzou, I think Dave wrote
back. Oh, my gosh.
Dave wrote back and said, that's Mr. ASS to you.
Oh, good for him.
Number two, you think Zion and the injury, do you think that will lead to the rule changing? Do you have a gut on that? Do you think that the one and done, that enough outcry will be there that
I do think the commissioner of the NBA is really, really a smart guy. And anybody who's really, really a smart guy realizes there shouldn't be a policy in place that will not allow an 18-year-old to make as much money as possible. I think he's just too smart a guy for this thing to happen. And this is more proof. I mean, just imagine, Martin, if it wasn't a mild strain, it was a complete tear, and this guy lost his explosiveness. Now, he does have that $8 million insurance policy, but we're talking about a guy with $300 million earning potential.
How about the ultimate trolling move was Puma, who said
they
tweeted out, wouldn't have happened if he was wearing our shoes.
Wow, that's
And
nasty.
Then, I guess, a little while later, they deleted the tweet because it was –
Yeah, you can't take Probably advantage of it.
At bad taste at that point.
Yeah.
But for Nike, not a good moment, right?
Oh, no. But I bet Nike, and Matt and I were talking about this, I bet they come out with some clever way. And you know there's probably 50 people in a boardroom right now, you know, come out with some clever way of when they sign Zion
they
to have, $200 million.
They had four designs for a 9 a.m. meeting this morning.
Yeah.
For the new Zion shoe.
How they like can play maximize off, play off yeah. this PR.
Yeah. Like you play off of this in some way, like you make a super like supportive shoe that's still aesthetically pleasing. I guarantee you, they had four mock-ups.
The Zion
9 a.m.
meeting.
Yes, this is exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know. It was a bad look though, because I'm sure their shoes, when you're playing at that level, they probably get brand new shoes every other day. How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about 270 pounds,
a lot of
and
torque
explosiveness
there.
And planting and.
We'll probably talk to Jimmy about that a little later, about how shoes sometimes you just put so much torque. All right, third one for Frank. Blues gut, not a guarantee, but a gut on the season itself. Do you see them making a run? Do you kind of feeling it right now?
I'll go they'll finish ahead of one of the two. Likely Nashville.
And do you think you win a round?
Maybe. Ooh, I would say more than –
Like, you're getting greedy
Don't
now,
you
right?
Think now, if you're the...
Like, if you win a round and lose, you'd say, well, we just did that 2 years ago yeah. with Yo. That's not
I think
that exciting.
Two rounds is the... Can you imagine that? If you don't win two rounds, then it's going
to
be
What happened to you, bums?
Yeah, after being last on January 3rd.
Jim Thomas told me the other night that some of the players and him have kind of talked about, you know, well, boy, everybody thought we were dead. And Jim's like, ah, hey, right here. Thought you were... I mean, we all did.
Yeah.
And I think some of the players, if they were honest, would admit it. All right, the White Sox reportedly offered $250 million, less money. But if you're Machado, long-term, would you rather be in Chicago with the Sox or in San Diego? You think it's a wash? Money, San Diego?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, because the Padres are similar to the Royals, Cubs, Astros, so horrible for so long, so many early picks, Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, I don't know the intricacies of their minor league system, but I think they have really good players, and San Diego is a nice place to play. But I got a feeling we're not going to be seeing this guy in the postseason for a while.
And I never play the fake news card, but I did see a headline yesterday where it said White Sox Anderson, Tim Anderson, White Sox shortstop, says Machado missed the boat by not signing in Chicago. So I saw the headline, clicked it, and it said, when asked – by a reporter, did Machado miss the boat? Tim Anderson said, oh, yeah, I think so. So he didn't say Machado missed the boat. You know, the headline was very misleading, as if this guy was popping off. And instead, he was actually just answering the question, which is the old Rocky Madden trick. When he goes in the neighborhood, he go up to somebody and you say, are you scared or are you frightened? And then the kid says,
you gotta get one good
bite I'm scared. Yeah. And they says, neighbors tell me they're scared. Scared or frightened, you pick.
That's good. Boy, Rocky, he's a pro.
It's a pro move. And then number five, in your gut, the name Jesse will not have much of a shelf life moving forward. I mean, in terms of parents naming their kids, do you think that name – I never heard of it before.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing now it's a little bit scarred moving forward. Don't you think that's going to be a hard name to roll? Like, I'll never forget that name because of him and now this crazy-ass story – I don't think anybody's going to want to go there in terms of naming their kid.
Were the guys they Nigerian bodybuilders? Is that the two?
Yeah, but they said they grew up in Chicago. They made a statement there that they love America. Yeah. They don't hate Trump. But there's video of them buying all of the gear. It's a ski mask. It's a rope. And they have all the video on tape of them buying all of the stuff that was used. The Nigerian brothers that are bodybuilders, they said, who have some relationship with him.
This is a movie that has to be made. Unfortunately, Jesse won't be able to play the role because he'll be in prison.
How mentally off are you that you think you could pull this off and that you want to pull it off? I just, at first when there was so much interest in this case, I thought, I've never heard of the guy. Empire's a popular show. Now I'm fascinated. Now that it's unraveled, I'm more interested than I was a week ago.
Yeah.
All right, five for Frank here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. The food's starting to roll in. I noticed Frank was thinking about taking a break, but he was keeping an eye on.
I just waited for it to be completely set up. those are Paul George model shoes. Sucks for him. Zion
was
wearing. Yeah. And then there's another one about this. Do you think that Zion would have a case against Nike? That'd be pretty tough to prove.
I will say the optics, and I know a lot of people chimed in on this topic, with players not getting paid. The optics on it, this kid who's at Duke, who's highly marketable, everybody's watching the game, it's an expensive ticket to get in, so there's money coming in at every front. The school gets paid by Nike. Coach K gets millions a year, I'm sure, from Nike, and the kid's knee is damaged potentially because of Nike. The kid who's getting nothing out of it, in theory, gets damaged by the shoe, which is the contract, which the school makes all the money off. It's more bad optics for
the How about this, though? They have to pay $50,000 for that insurance policy. And I'm sure they paid it for R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish, too. So that's $150,000 they're paying in insurance for those three.
But you're right.
They're generating a lot of money.
And as you said earlier, nobody should be feeling too sorry for Coach K.
Oh, no. I hate that.
You know what I mean? Where they go from a one seed now to maybe being a two seed in the tournament?
Yeah, I heard a couple of the experts say, well, they're not going to get to the round of the Sweet 16 round now. I don't know. I mean, if you got three of them. Granted, they don't have guys down low, and they're not a real physical or physically imposing team, but still, they got great players.
And you mentioned three first-round picks in the mock draft. Think about most programs. Like, if SLU has a first-round pick once every 30 years, it's like a huge deal. If any program,
yeah.
If Illinois has a first-round pick every 5 to 10 years, that's a huge deal. And you mentioned they have three potential first-round picks just this year alone. Most programs, how often does Mizzou have a first-round pick?
So Mizzou had one last year with Porter, but then before that, Doug Smith and Derek Chivas, is there anybody in between?
Let's see. Those good teams in the 90s were not high picks. And then along the way, Damari Carroll was, a second-round pick maybe?
Damari was a first-round pick. I want to say
Grizzlies, like 30th or something?
Yeah.
29th, 30th? But more or less, once every 10 years maybe. More or less. We should look it up. Hoff, look it up. All-time first-round picks from Mizzou.
And that's what makes it amazing that one year they had. Now, granted, they all weren't in the same class, but they had one team, Larry Drew, first-round draft choice. John Sundvold, first-round draft choice. Steve Stepanovich, first-round draft choice. And Ricky Frazier, second-round draft choice, all on one starting line.
So you have Michael Porter Jr., Damari Carroll, Linus
Kleiza. What year? So
2018, Michael Porter Jr.
Who has not played yet, correct?
No, he has not.
No.
2009, Damari Carroll went 27th.
So 9
2009?
So 9 years apart.
Yeah. 2005, Linus Kleiza went 27th.
Whoa.
2002, so a four-year gap, then a three-year gap. Kareem Rush went 20th. Another 2 years, Keon Dueling went 10th. Then there was a big eight-year gap when Anthony Peeler went 15th. A one-year gap for Doug Smith going 6th. Two-year gap for Byron Irving going 22nd.
Byron Irving was a first round.
A one-year gap for Derek Chavis going 16th. And then the next first-round pick is 5 years later for Steve Stepanovich.
So you named about 10 players maybe in a 40-year
window,
more or less, right?
So, yeah, so when you go back to Sunfold and Stepanovich going 2-16 from 83, it's been 36 years from there, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Now, we should have remembered Peeler. I forgot Byron Irvin was a first round pick.
Yeah.
I have to be honest. And normally, I don't agree with Doug Gottlieb, but he did chime in last night and said, for all of these people saying, shut it down, Zion, it's NBA time, make your money. He said, people don't realize college kids sometimes, they do want to win an ACC title. They do want to play in the tournament. They do want to go to the Final Four. Do you agree with that? I don't think it's all money, all business for some of these 18 and 19-year-old kids. Isn't there part of Zion, if he is healthy enough, don't you want to play in the NCAA tournament? Don't you want to try and make it to the Final Four? And a lot of the pundits and Gottlieb said, did any of you ever play sports? He said, give me a break. These kids want to make it to the tournament. They
want to
play.
Especially with his relationship with Reddish and Barrett. They signed together, and they want to make that run. I mean, they're going to – sometimes you remember an NCAA national title. This may be the only title he ever plays for. You know, he may get on a bad NBA team and never get to the finals.
And we saw it last year with Michael Porter Jr. The scouts even said, don't come back. Don't risk it. You might have a bad look, and all of a sudden your stock goes down. But he wanted to come back. And I think that is true, that the majority of these kids – now, they may get advice not to, but their gut is, I want to play. I want to be back on that court. I want to be in the tournament.
All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Lonnie Folks and Mark Stricker here at Maryville University.